The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live on Odyssey. Portions of the following program have been pre-recorded. KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. He is an Army veteran.
Duty, honor, country.
And former district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Most important, he's a father and a proud American.
Americans love a winner.
He is George Brockler, and this is The George Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Everything that guy just says, bull.
Not entirely true, but partially true. George Brockler right here with you on 710 KNUS, halfway through the Friday the 13th show. We are going to go right back to the VIP line here in a second. I just want to commend to you the last hour of the show with Michelle Black, author and Gold Star widow. It's probably a title she is so tired of hearing and not one that anybody would ever volunteer for. But this book, Sacrifice, which candidly, but for Pete telling me to read it, I wouldn't have ever seen it. It wouldn't have come across my radar. It wouldn't have populated into my, you know, Amazon or Audible feed or anything like that. But I am so glad I found it and read it. And the Audible version is out there, too. I commend to you to give it a listen or give it a read. It is something. And there's a love story in there. There's, you know, this very detailed account of combat in there. And then there's this wife's fight for the truth of her husband and his death. And it's just, it's a compelling read. And I think you ought to go out there and get it. Now we're going to shift gears again back towards something a little more pedestrian called politics. And to help us have that conversation, someone who I've really come to like quite a lot and trust their judgment. I appreciate their candor. Like everybody else who's successful, their spouse is the better part of them. Ted Trippa.
Hey, George. Good to be on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I should have done this off the air, but without any attribution, let me just ask you, did that guy call you about that thing? I don't want to go all mobster. Did that guy call you about that thing?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Great.
We've got it taken care of there.
Okay, fantastic. And with that, Billy will disappear tomorrow. No, I'm kidding. Ted, I know that
you've been planning it for a while.
Right, right.
I must say something. You had me on Friday the 13th.
That's right. We thought you might come in studio, so we have plastic laid out here on the floor. Just no, I'm kidding. I know that you have been the architect of a lot at the very grassroots level, all the way through the state level over time. You're not quite as engaged, but I know that you still observe. And what are your impressions of, first off, before we talk about the legislature, before we talk about Jared in detail, what are your impressions of the environment right now as we're getting ready to head into primary of June 28th for Republicans and Democrats in the state of Colorado?
Well, I think that the environment for primaries is going to be almost the opposite of what the environment is going to be for at least Democrats in the general. I mean, I do think that in the primaries, you're going to see, you know, some of the left folks perform well or some of the right folks perform well. Some of this is going to depend upon the money that's being spent, because we now have organizations and individuals playing in primaries. And they're trying to moderate the Republicans and trying to moderate the Democrats. It'd be interesting to see in this primary season if they're actually successful. Because this is the first primary season where they really have, the true, truly substantive and real program. So if you see more moderate people elected, then you know that these programs have worked. Because they're spending, you know, in the millions on these programs, on the soft side.
Are you seeing a greater contribution enthusiasm in this election cycle on the Democrat side than in the past? And the reason I ask is, you know, the common theory out there is that, wow, the Dems just aren't going to turn out as much this year. They're super depressed because of what Biden has or hasn't done. His numbers are underwater virtually everywhere. Does that include dollars, or are you seeing sort of invigorated contributions on both sides of the aisle?
I still think it's going to be less enthusiasm on the Democratic side, even with the Roe decision or coming Roe decision, particularly in the general election, because I think by the time all that rolls around, a lot of this is going to calm down. There's going to be a lot of really ticked off women and other, ticked off Democrats, a few Republicans that may affect how they vote. I just don't think it's going to be enough to really counter what we're going to see on the Republican side.
Is this Roe decision
even in the primaries? Even in the primaries,
is this Roe decision going to put some spring in their step for this? I can see Schumer and Pelosi trying to turn this into the focus leading into November. I just haven't seen it catch fire yet. What are you sensing on the other side?
I don't think it's catching fire either. You know, and I think that there are pockets that folks are really upset, and they know that they need to vote. I'm afraid from a Democratic perspective that by the time we get to the general election, it just isn't going to be the motivator for enough people to make that much of a difference. And I know there are a lot of people out there in my world who vehemently disagree with me, but I just, you know, over the years seeing, you know, issues like this, I have a tough time thinking it's going to have the staying power that it does.
We are talking with Ted Trimpa, the Oz behind the curtain for the Democrats for so many years. Ted, when you look at this legislative session, a win, a loss, and here's why I ask, and I said, as a conservative, as a Republican, I look at it through that lens. It's easy for me to malign what took place in the legislature and say, oh, this was disastrous, they didn't address this and that. But from your perspective, what did you see that was helpful or not helpful for the Dems going into their narrative for November?
Well, I think first you got to think about what the general picture is. And the general picture from my perspective is Democrats are in a Tesla careening off a cliff, and we think we're flying and we're dropping like a rock. I think we're overreading things, and I think we could end up paying a price for it. You know, you can't base issues just on, do you want clean water? Do you want clean air? I can't imagine anyone saying, oh, no, I don't want that. And in many ways, I think we're letting a smaller slice of what is the Democratic Party control the narrative and also some of the policy decisions that we made. I mean, business took a beating this last session here in Colorado.
When you talk about the beating that that businesses took, does that translate into something with either unaffiliated voters or, you know, the people on either end who are willing to write checks? Does it turn into something?
I think what you'll see businesses getting less money on the Democratic side, because historically, contrary to, you know, the whining that they would do around elections, they would still give money because they want access, particularly on the House side, because they know Democrats are going to maintain the majority. And on the Senate side, I think that, you know, Democrats are going to suffer a little bit more because there is a possibility the Republicans could take back the Senate. But it comes down to, in part, what the money will be like on the Democratic side and whether that's going to be enough to counter what I see as a decreased amount of enthusiasm among Democrats. And I think unaffiliated, just given the environment, are going to be voting more Republican than Democrat, depending on who the nominees are. I mean, if we end up with Ron Hankson as the Senate candidate, which I'm praying, you know, Michael's going to be fine, you know, unless it's a really, really bad environment. You know, Heidi Gnall will probably be the, you know, Democratic nominee for governor. I mean, the Republican nominee for governor. And, you know, she's not a whack job. And so Jared's going to win, but I think it will moderate some of the tone of the race, races.
I do want to talk to you about those individual races more. I want to ask, though, as you begin to look at this field gel and you look at the legislation and you try to start, you're probably picturing in your mind, how are they going to start to try to message us? One of the themes that has become pretty big this year has been crime and public safety. That's been a huge one, and it's on everyone's mind. And in part, it is manifested into some of the legislation that the Dems tried to put out there to correct things like fentanyl. I personally think the fentanyl bill is a disaster in a couple different ways and unworkable in some others. I don't know that this would happen, but I talked with Dick Wadhams about this in the 6 o'clock. Do you think there's any chance Governor Polis would veto that bill, call a special session and say, folks, Way too important, too many lives at stake. Go back in there, focus on this, and fix it for Coloradans.
I think that's unlikely. I mean, it's possible, but you know, it got into a situation where the House and the Senate were in what there for a while were intractable position. They just wouldn't move. And it took some time just for us to get our ducks in a row, you know, in Democratic land. I actually think in terms of how the public sees this, I think they see it as, hey, they did something on fentanyl. I don't think they see it as they didn't do enough. I don't like, you know, the felony treatment that, you know, there isn't enough of that. You know, and then people saying, well, there needs to be more around treatment. You know, we don't want to, you know, criminalize addiction. You know, all the things that you would hear. I just think the message is going to be, hey, they did something on fentanyl. Right. And then we'll see whether or not it works. But we're not going to see whether or not it works in time for the election.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth on the Democrat, I'm sorry, on the DA side of things and law enforcement. Like, if we push too hard, they'll kill the bill. And I said, there's zero chance that this bill dies. Whatever form it takes, Governor Polis and the Dems want to put their name on a piece of paper that has the word fentanyl on it. It's going to happen. It's just, what is it going to look like? But these, there were people that are like, they're going to spike the bill. They're going to, I mean, it'll never, never happen.
Yeah.
Never happen.
And this, it's you know, bald people trying to light their hair on fire.
If you're going to help the Democrats' message out of whatever polling mess that they're in right now, what does that message have to be?
Doing the business of the people, you know, and I think we have to pound away at, you know, healthcare pieces. It's really hard, you know, drug prices to the extent that anything wasn't done. This is a hard message environment, I think. And because I think that crime is just an overwhelming issue that's, you know, front and center for people. And I think it's going to be a huge issue in the Denver mayoral race, for sure. But I just think it's a hard message environment for Democrats. I mean, they're going to have to focus on a lot of the environmental things that they did. And I hope that those things settle. Because they were out there, and it pushed kind of the policy environment away. Now, a lot of it was amended, so it's not as bad. But I just think that we're pushing too hard, and I think that we could potentially pay a price for that, depending on how the Republicans message it. I mean, I've said this before on your show: Republicans do skeet shooting by standing in a circle.
Oh my God, you are so right. Two phrases come to mind. One that I attribute to you, that'll be the second one. The other one is, you know, Republicans will never miss an opportunity to pull defeat out of the jaws of victory. That could happen here, and we'll talk about a couple of those races. But the other one that I attribute to you that is just so pragmatic, and that is Republicans care about being right. Democrats care about being in power. I mean, it's just so pragmatic that when you look at it like that. And I worry that we continue as a party, we being Republicans, lose sight of that. Like, we're so interested in being pure and perfect on the issues that we start sacrificing candidates who can actually win. And rather than having a 90% agreement solution, we have a 20% agreement solution. And someone else is in the office that we might have won. It's just, it is so short-sighted and it is frustrating.
Well, I think that there's an opportunity for you guys. And that is, I think that what we're seeing is the Democrats are starting to evolve. Where it's more about the policy being right rather than making sure whatever policy you're doing is the way that you can actually win. But the challenge is, and we watched this in, you know, Technicolor this last session, particularly in the House, Republicans were eating their own. You know, I mean, the infighting, and then you catch a couple of them just, you know, one-on-one talking, and all they do is, you know, talk, you know, SHIT about the other members within their own caucus. And, you know, I'm just fascinated. You know, I have cocktails with these folks, and 90% of the time is griping about people in their own party. I just look at them, I'm like, you know, can't you guys do this behind closed doors? And then
no.
Figure out where you're going to be. Because all we do is pop popcorn, sit there,
sit back,
and watch the movie.
If you were going to advise the GOP on what messaging will carry the day here in November, what would that be?
Crime
is it.
Crime.
More than the economy.
Crime and the economy. The economy here isn't as bad.
That's true.
It's the challenge.
True.
You know, and the other challenge we have, or you have, is Polis has done, and I know a lot of your listeners may not agree with this, but has done a good job. You know, his numbers are good, and he's, you know, walked that fine line on a number of issues. And I think that he's going to be able to frame, you know, hey, contrary to what you're seeing in other parts of the country, you know, we're doing okay. You know, there's quite a headwind, and that's because of our policies. So I think on state-level issues, I'm just not for sure that the economy is going to be that driving, unless just the overall general economic environment just hits down ballot and everybody just says, you know, pox in all your houses.
Well, the cost of living stuff, the quality of life thing, those things could end up having an impact. But I agree with you. And again, I like Heidi. I like Greg. They're nice enough. I think Heidi probably wins. This is my best guess. I just don't know. But it kind of doesn't matter in my mind because, one, Governor Polis is not hated, right? Like, he needs to be somewhere where Biden is to be in real trouble. And by the way, he also brings up a bank account that is unmatchable by anybody in the state of Colorado other than Phil Anschutz running for governor. There's just no way to match that. Those two things combined, it's just very difficult. Not impossible. It's just very difficult to see a path towards victory.
Well, what's been also, and I keep using this word, so I need to find another one. What's also fascinating to watch, and I mentioned this to some of my Republican friends early on, is there's so many Republicans complimenting Jared. Now, I think overall for the state of Colorado and trying to do great things for the citizens of Colorado, that's a good thing. However, in terms of just winning, you know, they didn't go after him on issues early on, you know, because you got to make him bleed.
Yep,
you know, there has to be something where you know you have an issue that you can run against these folks, and so you pound them on it, and you do that over a period of time, so hopefully you build up some momentum, rather than at the very end, you're like, oh, okay, let's think about what the issues are, and then we'll pound on Jared about that, when he's been building up a great record, and he can come back and say, hey, listen, I did X, Y, Z, and in fact, I had bipartisan support on Y and Z.
Yep. You have talked about the fact that you pray for a Ron Hanks nomination because you think that will ensure an easy victory for Michael Bennett. How do you feel if it's a Joe O'Dea nomination?
It's going to be closer, but I still think Michael pulls it out unless the overall environment is just really, really bad and that there's a wave. I mean, I think that Colorado is going to be one of those states that's going to be counter to what the wave is. But overall, I think Democrats, more than taking it in shorts, are going to lose all their shorts. I mean, it's bad.
How about Jenna, Secretary of State, a ridiculous amount of fundraising for a Secretary of State candidate? Hell, for anybody, really, outside of Jared Polis.
I mean, she even calls me during session, and I'm like, you can't raise money from me. I'm a registered lobbyist. And by the way, that's what you enforce.
That's a great story. How do you see her matching up against Tina Peters?
Against Tina Peters, Jenna wins.
How about Pam?
You know, because I can just see a commercial with Tina Peters,
I know.
Felon Secretary of State. I mean, I would hope Coloradans would look at that and say, you know, somebody who broke the law like she did and the things that she says about elections would have sense enough to say that we shouldn't have her as Secretary of State. Now, if it's Pam, I could see Pam making it a competitive race. You know, I mean, because Pam's not a whack job, has been a county clerk, understands these issues really well. I think there'd be a question out there, you know, has Jenna politicized the office too much? I actually think that she's done it in a way where people know who she is. You know, typically, Secretary of State, you know, you think it's somebody at the State Department as
right.
a secretary.
Right.
And now you actually know. You know, I would bet, you know, if you look at name ID, her name ID is pretty high.
That's going to be
Pam's biggest challenge.
How about Treasurer Lang Sias versus whoever the Democrat treasurer is that no one can name?
You know, Dave Young. It's Dave Young.
Yeah, I know.
I know. You just see the little jab at the Democrats, which I can understand. You know, the thing about the treasurer's race, I think a lot of that's just driven by the state of the economy and, you know, what people are seeing overall. And I think that, you know, unless Democrats have a good performing year, Dave has a pretty steep hill, as much as I like him, you know, and for candidates, you guys have put up a candidate who I think people would respond to really well.
Lang's a good dude. But again, I agree with you. I think that race gets determined by the things above it, not by it. I don't think anybody's going to the ballot to vote for treasurer. How about the other constitutional office, Phil Weiser, John Kellner?
Phil is a machine. You know, he's a machine on fundraising. He's a machine in terms of being out there and really using the power of the AG, whether you may agree or disagree with some of the things that he's doing. I think that, you know, that sometimes can be a race where, again, people hear attorney general and not for sure what an attorney general does. Here, I think that, you know, I'd be interested to see, and I haven't seen, what his name ID, you know, is, how many people actually know who he is. Because he gets a lot of ink, a lot of press. He's on social media a lot. I just think that the name ID, I can't even remember a guy's name that's running against him, and you just said it. I think that that makes it tough. Now, again, if it's a huge Republican year, it may be one of those things where no matter who you are, just the spill, you know, the rundown from the top and how that could affect, you know, Democratic races down ballot.
Well, and regardless of what the AG claims to do or not do, I think that position is most susceptible to the crime issue than anything else, because people hear attorney general, they hear, and even Phil has said, hey, I'm the top law enforcement officer in the state. Whether or not he has a teeny tiny footprint in the real criminal justice arena, I think voters naturally are like, hey, that's the dude that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's it. I tell you, if I were a Republican candidate, that's where I would go, despite the fact that you and I both know it's the DAs that actually do mostly law enforcement. But, you know, people don't realize that there isn't a whole lot of criminal stuff that the AG's running around doing.
No, and some of it, I'm sure, will turn into a debate about whether or not he was absent or present on certain votes and debates and what he's doing on safe injection sites. What I heard you say, Ted, though, is that district attorneys are superheroes, and I agree. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I've always felt that. And, well, no, seriously, and this is where, you know, I part company with some people in my party. You know, you think about what's going on with DAs across the country.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying a price for politicizing some of those positions and thinking that we can use DAs as a way of doing substantive criminal justice reform, policy reform. And I think we're paying a price for that. Now, whether people put two and two together about that, I don't know.
Listen, I'd love to have you back on as this thing progresses, especially once we get past the primary so we can get to some real bets here on air for meals and other things. I want to know if there's any appetite in your household for a you and your husband at the same time sort of moderated discussion here on 710.
Oh, yeah. He totally did.
I'd love it. And for folks that don't know, Ted's husband is
really
a
smart
conservative. Yeah. Oh, he's wicked smart. He's also funny as hell. And he's a conservative.
Yeah.
And a producer on Fox.
He's almost a soft. Conservative is almost a soft thing to describe. He's, he's almost farther right than a conservative.
It's true. I don't think I'm as conservative as your husband is. I think he is. He's further to the right than me. But he's also a producer on Fox, on the Fox Channel 4, a huge hit show, Gutfeld at Night. I mean, that's an incredible story. So I'd love to have you both on. I'll start that conversation on text if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Love it.
Hey, thank you for the time on this Friday the 13th. Ted Trempa on 710 KNUS. We took Ted a little bit long because I just love talking to that guy. He's very pragmatic, very smart. But what did you hear there? Where do you disagree with Ted? Are you like, this guy is shilling for the wrong? He's wrong. I want to hear from you what you heard from Ted that resonated with you, that gave you some pause, or where you thought, that dude, I cannot agree with that guy. We'll get to you and me and that after a break here. You start dialing at 303-696-1971, and we'll start the conversation right after this. Until that time, George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
George Brockler, News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader.
Get down on it here on 710 KNUS. If you're listening to the podcast, you don't hear that music and you think, what a ridiculous way to intro this segment of the show. But that's the music that's playing in my headset and over the airwaves right now here on The George Show on 710 KNUS. Phone lines are starting to fill up at 303-696-1971. We had Ted Trempa on. My thanks to him for staying with us for an extended period. Man, it was like a 20-plus minute interview where he gave us kind of the landscape, some messaging advice for the Dems and the Republicans, some predictions on the races. And I want to get to you to have the conversation with you about what did you hear? Did you agree with it? Disagree with it? And we're going to go right to the phone lines right now. Bob, you're on 710 KNUS.
Hey, George.
Hey, sir.
Can you hear me? I'm back.
I can. Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay. So Secretary of State, let's talk about that. I understand the political analysis, and I think the biggest thing that is not understood regarding Tina Peters is that no one is discussing the forensic audit reports that she enabled. Now, I'm not a judge on what she did to enable that. There may be grounds, but I am still stunned that the political experts don't even talk about those forensic reports on those Dominion systems. That is a story that's a Watergate-level story, and I don't understand why no one mentions that.
Are you talking about reports that Tina generated on the Mesa County election out there?
On the Dominion machines.
Yeah, but her reports. You're talking about the reports she generated.
No, she did not generate them. Cyber experts generated them. Look at their backgrounds.
Which cyber experts? What are their names? Or is it in the reports? Maybe
one's
we don't.
O'Donnell. There are three reports, George, okay, that every
yep.
Colorado
the,
citizen
these are the ones
should
that,
read. Have
that,
you read them?
No. These are the ones that Tina, when I met with her at the Elbert County Lincoln Day dinner and she agreed to be on the show, she said, hey, I'm happy to come on. Just please read the executive summary from each of those three reports. I told her I would. I haven't yet.
Okay, but this is the issue in Colorado that people don't understand. If you read that, and you look at the background of the people who created those reports, you would be very scared about elections in this state. And that this is what, and the press is bearing.
Wait a
this.
Minute, well, just so that I'm clear, because of their credentials, qualifications, and experience, the conclusions that they've drawn should be given great weight, is what I hear you saying.
Correct.
And
this is why, you know, I've called in also on audits and how this system is not being audited properly, and it's central to what's coming up. And by the way, I want to tell everyone, you know, I listened to this one lady you had on.
Yep.
Everyone should vote. It is the most single important thing.
Yeah,
you
I remember
can
that
do.
Lady said she was worried about whether it would count.
Yeah,
she,
and I go,
Joan,
ma'am,
it was Joan, yeah.
you're clueless. You want to vote. But here's what I'm on.
Bob, before we get there, can I run by you what I think is whether you're right or Tina's right is one issue, okay? And we can debate that. But when you talk about, hey, someone's expertise, their experience, their career, and their opinion then should be given great weight, I want to turn it towards what I think is going to be dispositive about her ability to win at the state level. And that is, there's another expert career person named Dan Rubenstein, who's a Republican DA, who along with a grand jury of Mesa County residents, people who presumably voted for Tina, or some portion of them did, who indicted her on charges. Is that opinion also to be given great weight?
Yes, and I understand that. So I'm trying to say, I'm trying to tell people separate the issue, because the bigger issue is, are these machines secure? How she got, you should know, this Secretary of State blocked the audits that would enable people to verify the machines are secure. This Secretary of State blocked forensic audit of these machines. This state does not audit the machines and what they're doing during the election.
Well, Bob, can I give you an example? For instance, in Elbert County, Dallas Schroeder, who's a super nice guy and has been doing this job for 8 years, they actually went through a hand recount to back up what the machines told them, and it did. So now what?
Well, but again, this is the point I think I made last week. You don't know whether those ballots are counterfeit or not.
What?
Look,
Who got their hands on the ballot? Who counterfeited the ballots?
There are many ways to do that, George. In other words, that is entirely what they discovered in Arizona.
And they forged all the voters' signatures?
Easy to do.
Easy to forge all those signatures?
Easy. You could do it with a digital printer. We don't ever check.
So that I'm clear, though, there's no evidence that anything was counterfeit or forged, but you're saying because it could be, we now have to be skeptical.
No, I'm saying it's not audited, so you don't know, George.
I do think it was audited. I think that every one of these machines goes through a certain auditing process.
They don't audit for counterfeit ballots. I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, buddy, unless there was evidence of counterfeit, I just can't imagine that we're going to presume every ballot that comes in is counterfeited until it's proven authentic.
I'm saying you don't know because the audit system doesn't audit for it.
Do you think any of that will... Do you think any of that will make a difference in the general election? So when Ted says, I think that Tina Peters is the low-hanging fruit for Jenna Griswold, that I think that is a much easier...
Well, but you're on a different topic. You're on the politics.
I'm on the part that I wanted to talk about when I brought Ted on. You're trying to take me down a different road, Bob, and I'm not willing to have the debate about whether the election was stolen or what the problems were with it. I want to talk to you about, independent of that... And this was the question that I posed to folks at 303-696-1971 is, does it matter? Even if she's 100% right, even if she's later proven to be right, will it matter in November if she's the nominee and the Democrats get to run a bunch of ads that basically say, can she count ballots from behind bars? They'll say.
I agree. You're right. I totally understand that point. I am very concerned, though, when people get up and discredit this and don't make any point out of the fact that those audits should scare people. And we do not double check any of that.
You're trusting the reports generated by people with great credentials who you've never met. And I'm telling you that go ahead.
Let me just finish one other point. And that has been substantiated by many other places. This is not unique.
So
Atrium County, they found the same thing in Michigan. You have a cyber expert named Alex Halderman who has written papers on this.
Yeah, I imagine that there's some good stuff in there, but I'm saying if you're going to rely on people that you consider to be experts that you've never met based on stuff that they say that they found, and that's all it is, I got to tell you, I've talked with other people who are experts in this area, people like Pam Anderson or Matt Crane or other folks, and they're people I trust, and I actually know them. I don't just know their resumes. I know them, and when they tell me, hey— Bob. When they tell me that this is a trustworthy system and that whatever fraud exists isn't sufficient to overwhelm the intent of the voters, it doesn't change the outcome, I tend to believe that. Go ahead.
I don't. I'm just telling you, George.
I get it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to educate people. There's a much broader story here. And I understand the issue politically on this, because when you have a press that buries these stories, you're setting up that they will, discredit anyone who complains about this.
What if they just don't believe them? What if they believe the Matt Cranes and the Pam Andersons and all in the Carly Cops and all? What if they believe all those clerks and recorders? Are they burying that story? What if they just like, I don't believe it.
I'm going to say it again. The proof is auditing for it, and we don't audit for it, and they're burying the ability to audit. Anybody who knows computer systems knows these systems aren't being audited.
Yeah, but I'm going to look into the executive summary thing before Tina comes on next week, because she's just going to be smarter than me on this topic. Before I let you go, and I have to let you go, let me just ask you, if Tina Peters is the nominee, who is the Secretary of State next January?
I don't know. Depends on what occurs while she's there. But I understand the press will run convicted, a charged felon. I know that, George. This is all part of the game. And I come back and say, why has the news media buried the content of the report? You haven't even read the reports.
Your definition of buried, Bob, is they haven't highlighted it the way you want it highlighted. I don't think that's the same thing as buried.
Well, but, George, if they don't talk about it, no one knows about it.
My guess is there's a lot of theories out there. And, Bob, forgive me. I've taken you long. I should have broken off about 2 minutes ago, but I respect the conversation that we're having here. I just can't continue to have it, especially when it's taken us a little field of what I wanted to talk about, and that is, does it matter? Like when Ted Trimpa comes on and says, hey, you make Tina Peters the nominee, Jenner Griswold gets reelected pretty handily. Do you believe that? Do you agree? Not whether you agree or disagree with Tina. She could be 100% right. She could ultimately be acquitted. Doesn't matter. If she's on the ballot with these things going on, does she win? And is that worth it then? Is it worth it to do that? We got to cut away for a break. But before we do that, I just got to tell you about our friends at Ribble Group, Keller Williams, DTC, Gay Ribble. Fantastic human being. I have sung her praises from the standpoint of being a good person now for many, many weeks. And I believe it. She's got this great program where you can sell your home for top dollar and still stay in it for up to 12 months until you find that next dream home. Who else can do that for you? Someone that's grown up here, raised their family here, started a business here, crushed it here, and continues to know this market better than just about anybody else. Sell your home now. Be guaranteed to stay in your home until it's time to move. And you get that with Gay Ribble. I would say that in this seller's market, there's really only one place to go, and that's with a person who has all the buyers, and that's Gay. Call her at the Ribble Group at 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-SOLD, or you can check her out online at Gay, G-A-Y-E, Gay, hasthebuyers.com. That's gayhasthebuyers.com. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation at 303-696-1971 until the top of the hour, when we'll be joined by friend of the show and super smart guy, Frank McNulty. Until that time, George Brockler, right here on 710 KNUS. It is a funky Friday here on May the 13th, lucky May the 13th on 710 KNUS. I'm George Brockler. This is The George Show. This is our last segment. Have a couple minutes with you before we break away, and then we'll be rejoined by another super smart Politico dude who you've heard on the station before. His name is Frank McNulty, thinking strongly about dropping the L and just going with Frank McNutty. I told him not to. I think it takes away some of his credibility. We'll ask him about that when I'm, of course, entirely joking about that. But Frank's a Republican, and he'll give us a different view. Frank's also pretty pragmatic and talks about things in terms that I can understand. You could tell from Ted when we had him on Ted Trimpa earlier, he's wicked smart and he talks wicked smart. So it's harder. My brain really has to catch up to the words he's saying. But the message is pretty legit and it's very pragmatic. And the conversation that we were having, and I'll continue to have with you after Frank and get your impressions on what he says as well, is there an impact? And I should have asked Ted this in greater detail. We'll do it again. But is there going to be an impact beyond those individual races if we nominate the more controversial candidates? And some of what Bob did, and Bob's, you know, super smart on the stuff that he knows about the audit stuff. I can't keep up with that kind of thinking. But at the end of the day, what I appreciated about what Bob conceded was, yeah, I get it, man. Whether Tina's right or wrong, guilty, not guilty, is less relevant than the fact that if she's on the ballot, they're going to club her like a baby harp seal with this indictment and potential. Who knows what's coming from the feds? Now, I think that also leads to a narrative for some that it's like, well, this is proof. They're trying to keep her quiet. They're trying to discredit her by ginning up the criminal justice system against her. I can't speak to the federal thing. Okay, I don't know what goes on over there. They are a different breed, the feds. But I can tell you Dan Rubenstein, and I don't know Dan to be political. I just know him to be a regular old prosecutor, the kind of guy that goes into court on a day-to-day basis and tries to fight for what he thinks is right and fight against things that he thinks that are wrong. That's pretty much the job. I just don't know him to be a publicity seeker. I don't know him to be politically engaged. I don't think he's ever run for any other office than DA. And he's a conservative Republican in a conservative county. Dude keeps getting returned to office and then ginned up a Republican grand jury to pass an indictment. And that's where the analysis ends for politics purposes. So even if you think she's wrongfully accused, unless you think she's going to be exonerated before those ballots go out for the general election, that's not what's important. And is it unfair, especially if she's not guilty? Incredibly unfair. Probably a giant lawsuit awaits, something like that. So what? Either our goal is to win the Secretary of State's office away from the most hyper-partisan person we've ever seen in that office, and someone, by the way, who wants to be a U.S. senator, somebody who wants to be in a position to have greater influence over our lives. Either we're going to do that, or we're going to get caught up in the minutiae of the ins and outs of whether or not this was really a crime, not a crime, and it has nothing to do with fairness, folks, nothing to do with fairness. It has everything to do with politics. I want to win. Now, you know, we're going to have this conversation with Tina on Thursday. I don't know that she's given us any time limit. I want to ask her all the questions in the world. I imagine she'd allow you to ask her questions, too. She seems very candid, very forthright, knows her business. But I want to have that conversation with her. And then I want to get her and Pam Anderson either in her or on the phone at the same time so we can have a broader discussion about the issue so you can really compare apples to apples. But we're not going to do that in the last few seconds of this segment. Instead, we're going to get ourselves all stretched out and ready. You start doing the yoga poses, do your downward facing dog or your whatever those other moves are. Get ready for Frank McNulty, man. He's coming, and he's coming with his A game, presumably sober. No, I'm kidding. That's not a joke because he's Irish either. Frank McNulty on here after the top of the hour. Until that time, you're listening to me. My name's George Brockler. This mighty station is 710 KNUS.
Starting with downtown, I-25 southbound showing speeds in the 40s and 50s between I-70 and Spear. North of there, I-76 westbound, we've got a motorcycle crash blocking the right lane between Federal and Pecos, with backups starting from I-25. And out east to the airport, I-70 westbound showing unusually slow traffic between Peña and Havana. I'm Mark Swan.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com.
The last 2 years have been devastating to kids in poverty. You can help when you sponsor a child with Compassion International. Get started by texting the word radio to 97646.
Stephen Tufts holds local politicians accountable.
This is in part what the governor told NPR, quote, "Republicans are obsessed with taking away freedoms, like Florida banned the word gay. They're obsessed with controlling people's lives," close quote. Polis is not dumb. If you believe that he is intelligent, it should almost make you even more angry, because he knows exactly what he's doing.
Stephen Tufts, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on 710. KNUS.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles here from my friends at American Financing. The Federal Reserve's next rate hike will make credit card debt even more expensive. So, if you already have a high balance, it could get even worse, because some credit card rates could be as high as 19% later this year. Here's the good news. If you own a home, you pay off this debt right now. It's true. Call our friends at American Financing. Talk to them about a cash out refi where you access your equity as cash, no pressure, no obligation, no upfront, no hidden fees, making it worth the 10 minutes to learn more. Lock on a low rate now before they're gone. Pre-qualify in as little as 10 minutes. I trust American Financing, so should you. American Financing today, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy customer.
Atrus Software Accounting is amazing. I was able to see where's all my expenses going, where's the revenue, which month had more revenue. I definitely recommend it to you guys who are a small business and need to record your expenses. And they just make it so easy. I was like, wow. Affordable and easy to use. I have recommended it to colleagues.
Easy to learn, easy to use. Small business software tailored just for you.
Visit us at PatriotSoftware.com. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Hey, Colorado, it's time to get your ATVs, dirt bikes, and UTVs ready for the trail. And Small Engine Masters in Castle Rock has the best prices on maintenance and service around. Tune-ups, brakes, fork seals, carb repair, tires and belts, Small Engine Masters in Castle Rock has you covered with their professional friendly service. See why? They have over 100 five-star Google reviews. Go to smallenginemasters.com to schedule all of your seasonal maintenance or stop by at 1577 Park Street in Castle Rock. That's smallenginemasters.com. Air conditioning season is already here. It's that time of year when temperature swings can change 30 degrees in a single day. Now is the time to call Squeak Services to get your AC ready. Preventive maintenance is the only way to save on costly repairs. And when you call Squeaks, you'll only pay $60 to ensure your AC unit is working at its best and ready for the season. Call, text, or chat with Squeak Services 7 days a week to set an AC maintenance appointment today. Call 303-280-5765 or visit SqueaksServices.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.